Hey, it's Chris, and welcome back to the Between Dreams podcast. This show chats with creators and innovators and people who are coming up with new ideas, but not just ideas for the sake of coming up with ideas, ideas to actually bring them into reality. Today's guest, H.C. Dunaway Smith, is here, and I came across your stuff, I believe, initially on TikTok. First of all, I love TikTok for the sake of how incredibly creative and how much effort people are putting into creating things that are just blowing my mind every day, whether it's in technology and creating things on that side to just making funny videos. It's been absolutely incredible. And coming into this, as we were saying before, I kind of didn't give you much of a guidance of what we would talk about because I wanted to naturally go where it goes because of so much curiosity that I have into what you do. So with that being said, I think that I won't give you the proper justice of the type of art that you create and the work that you're working on if I give you your introduction. So do you have a bit of a quick explanation of what you're doing? Because you're kind of breaking the mold of what makes sense in my world of thinking we can say art and digital art and all of that, but it just doesn't quite, I don't think, capture that innovation that you're delivering.
Sure. So, I mean, a little bit of my history is I was born into a family of artists and musicians. So I kind of was interdisciplinary from the start. I just thought of making as making. So I've kind of just, I honestly just explored my own curiosity, which is why I'm totally down to do that in this podcast. That makes sense to me. And it landed me in theater for about 10 years. I was a playwright. And then I got a little disillusioned with theater for a bit, and I discovered computers, and I got really excited about the possibility of co-authoring with an audience versus doing purely presentation. So I started looking into interactive art and ended up going into college for that. And basically what I do now, after being in interactive art for a few years, making mobile games and virtual worlds and that sort of stuff, I've now turned my attention to mixed reality, which there's a couple of different ways that mixed reality can happen. So there's AR, which is augmented reality, and that's when you have some sort of overlay on the physical world. So this is your Pokemon Go, or there's a lot of different examples, although Pokemon Go is definitely the most popular. But it's a combination of the real world and a virtual one versus virtual reality, which is where you're totally encompassed and engulfed and immersed in a virtual space. And I do a little bit of both, but mostly AR. So I am an illustrator and an animator primarily, as well as just a storyteller. And so what I do is I actually take illustrations and stories that I want to tell. I illustrate them. I bring them into a 3D program, make 3D environments, essentially. Then I create augmented reality experiences with them, add music and interaction. And yeah, and that's what I do. It's a new kind of storytelling, basically.
Yeah. One of the big themes that I've been really digging into, because I come from live theater performance space as well. And for me, I started making videos out of necessity of needing promo videos for my juggling show. And I was like, I need a promo video. I don't have a videographer. So I really learned how to make videos from that side and how to capture the editing and the lighting and all of that. Now it's as a primarily somebody who makes videos and online content. I'm like, man, there's so much depth and knowledge and foundation that was built of me doing circus tricks, theater things that doesn't make any sense. People are like, how'd you learn how to do that? Well, like, 15 years ago, I was trying to hang up a thing in a performing at a cafeteria in a college somewhere or whatever. And I would like to open that up a little bit to you as well, thinking about that of, I know you kind of glanced over it, of coming from that more of, I hate to call it more of the traditional storytelling and more traditional sense, but coming from that world and then merging it into something that really is such a new and innovative and kind of the frontier of storytelling. I think the question is, for me, so much of the things that I create, and this is going to sound worse than it is, so much of the things that I create are inspired by me being like irritated. I don't want to say angry because that's too harsh. I'm like, why is this not better?
Yeah.
Why is a juggling show or a magic show or something not this amazing thing? And I try to innovate that and do that. And I can't help but always think, and I won't put this words into your mouth, but I can't help but to always think people that are really pushing the envelope on creation and ideas, that there has to be some sense of irritated that this idea that is in my mind, I can see how I want this to be for the audience, but no one else is doing it, and including often ourselves, aren't quite getting to that vision that's inside our head. So how does that play for you? Because there really is, and thinking about AR and VR, creating worlds that don't actually completely exist in that form in reality, and getting as close to bringing that vision in our imagination and in our creativity to allow other people to see it, closer than art ever has in the past, because art has always been a little bit more abstract. As technology goes backwards, it's a little bit more abstract. I think we're entering the first time where we actually have to question sometimes, I don't know if this is real or not. So yeah. Does any of that, I'm sorry that I didn't have an actual question in there.
No.
I was looking for it.
I picked up on some points I want to talk to you. Well, first off, I always just joke that I'm like making my own dreams come true, basically, with my work. So I see something in my brain and I want to make it happen, and I'm not sure how to share that with other people. So I just kind of explore the technology until I figure out how to do it. And there's a lot of compromises along the way, but I actually think there's a lot of creativity like born in constraints. So that doesn't really bother me. I just go forward and see what I can figure out. As far as like responding to some sort of agitation or whatever, I mean, I think that creation is born out of all sorts of catalysts. It can look a lot of different ways. But the key component is some sort of like ignited energy. And if that happens from agitation or despair or joy, I mean, there's like a lot of different places to start. But I think my journey did kind of start with a little bit of frustration. So as a playwright major, I'd moved to New York City to pursue that. And I kind of just kept running up against really traditional sort of closed-minded thinking about like what theater could be and what storytelling could be. And I just really felt like the medium needed to innovate and become modernized, meet the modern audience where it was, from an attention span position, from an interest position, from just sort of an evolution of how the stories are told, like think outside of the proscenium sort of stuff. Yeah. So that was kind of the catalyst of me being like, well, maybe I don't want to do this. What do I want to do? And then kind of landing at computers, mostly because I didn't want to be a waitress. I gave myself like a week to teach myself how to type and answer enough questions on this test for Microsoft to pass. I totally shouldn't have passed, but I did. And anyway, ended up like trial by fire, like figuring it out, discovered I was pretty good at it, and then got really excited about the creative potential that computers held. I mean, I'd used computers since the time that I was little, you know, like Adobe Photoshop. I used to give myself like vampire eyes and like, you know, just silly stuff. But that was the first time that it kind of clicked for me that I was like, oh, okay, there's really something here. This is like a major tool. And then I started to sort of extend. I started working at Apple for like the Final Cut Pro team. I was like a multimedia specialist and stuff. And that sort of coupled with my theater background as far as storytelling, as well as I've just always been a drawer and a painter. That's what my dad was. And so I've just always done it. And I, along the way, it might seem really circuitous, but like along the way, I've just picked up all of these skills that right now are perfect. They've coalesced into this like, oh yeah, no, this is exactly what I need to do. It combines all of the things that I love. I'm a musician too. And like, I'm starting to think about innovative ways of bringing music into these experiences. What does a song look like in augmented reality? What does a co-authored song look like? How can I go about integrating the audience in some sort of really authentic way where they really have choice and have impact on a song or a story? And what happens, you know, I feel like it creates more meaningful connections and discoveries like that I never would have thought of. It's much better that way.
Yeah, there's amazing thinking about all of that. And I want to go back to the first little segment of what you talked about there is that constraint of sometimes, oftentimes in our own, our inside of ourselves. But there's a real thing of if sometimes the computer doesn't do what I want it to do. If anyone who's ever edited a video will say, yes, sometimes 100%. The computer does not do what I want it to do. Sometimes the camera does not focus on the thing I want. You know, there's all of those things in your world. What is that? Because from the outside, for me, looking at the stuff that you're creating, it's like, wow, this is incredible. It doesn't seem like there's any limitations in it. So from your perspective, what are some of those things that are currently those limitations, which I like how you put that, though, also almost always having that limitation is what makes us go around the long way of the mountain and find something cool over there. And
totally.
The long way often tends to be the most scenic, it turns out. So, you know, it gives us good inspiration over there out of the way.
Yeah. I mean, I find that no matter where I point my arrow, I end up landing somewhere else, you know, and that's actually kind of the beauty of it is that not knowing it's like, oh, best intentions are great, but life happens and then you end up with something new. And often it's more interesting than what you had originally sort of like thought of. But yeah, as far as like creative constraints that I'm dealing with right now, there's different software constraints. So one of the constraints clearly is the viewport. So most of the augmented reality that I do is viewed through a mobile device. So through like a phone typically, or like an iPad. And so the viewport, like the actual real estate that people can see is limited. So that's something to think about, especially because I'm creating spatially. So I'm actually designing experiences for a person's and like their entire surrounding area, including their body, but where they can view it is really small. There's also like processing power limitations. So there's only so much that a phone can do, right? So you really have to think creatively about like the assets that you're using and what you're asking the processor to do, because you want the experience to be fluid for people. So those are kind of like some of the base level technical constraints, but there's also like, what is the software support? So I've been experimenting with like different softwares to do this stuff, and each one has like slightly different limitations. Like I'm a 2D animator primarily, or that's been my history anyway. And so, but a lot of these applications were kind of built for 3D. And I've been learning 3D over the last year, but like I've really come at it like a 2D animator. And I've figured out ways to animate in non-traditional 3D ways, essentially. I'm just sort of taking what I know as a 2D animator and applying it to a 3D space. And I think I'm actually coming up with some interesting things. You know, again, it's like, oh, okay, I can't do everything in the world. So I have a limited color palette. What can I do? And yeah, and I actually find that kind of liberating. I feel like if you have a totally blank canvas, it can be overwhelming. So yeah, so those are some of the limitations.
What do you think that was an interesting thing of thinking about the, you know, the device that we are experiencing anything from? It's one of the things that I think about with videos is even just the orientation of a device. Something that the creators in the past didn't have to worry so much about. This is what everyone's TV looks like. And they were also kind of all the same size. Like everyone has an 18-inch TV. And it's like, we know how that works. We know how to create something that'll work on everyone's TV. Now it's like, we're in a world now where we make videos. We're like, I don't even know which way to hold the thing because yeah, some people are going to be watching it vertical on a phone. Some people are going to be watching it on a projector, like traditional style. And it's like so challenging to create anything because you don't, on one side, you want to make it accessible to people on whatever platform they happen to be on, which some tend to be one way or the other. But then the other side, you don't want to just make something generic that works all around. So going back into that, like that constraint of the viewing device, and then it's like paired into the next level of kind of what you're doing now. It's like, okay, now maybe it's goggles.
Yeah.
Or a fully immersive thing that we're like, oh, now it's a whole different thing than that. So is there anything in that side of, and I think maybe thinking about the question of, do we as creators try to do something that works all around, kind of a general, like, yeah, it'll work on a phone, it'll work on a computer screen. It'll work in goggles, but it won't really be optimized for any of those. Or do we create a specialized experience that's like, cool, if you're on a phone, don't bother because it's not going to be that cool. Like you need to be the full experience or one way or the other. Do you think you have a point of view on that of like diving into something?
It's a great question. So my history as like an interactive artist sort of started out in the web, right? So everybody was designing for websites and there was like a very particular aspect ratio and like that's what you did. And then mobile phones came around. And so I was like, oh, okay, we have to make a design that will not only work on a website, but will also automatically update and be responsive to these various web browsers with which, you know, they're supposed to have standardizations that make it easier to design for all of them, but they don't work exactly like they're supposed to. And so anyway, you really have to create fluidly and allow. Typically how I go about it is I'll have like a hierarchy of goals or things to think about as I'm like trying to target like what's the most important aspect of this? And like, what do I need to communicate? Absolutely. And then what are some of the optional bits that can, you know, if the padding isn't perfect or they miss this little piece of the story, I really try to blend like a combination of absolute fundamental aspects of the storytelling as well as like optional bits that are more experienced through discovery. So when I'm creating these mixed reality experiences, I'm really trying to like sell the authenticity of the world. And to do that, you really have to give people agency. You have to give people the ability to just kind of explore wherever. And then when they do that, reward them through surprising little pieces of storytelling. Cause that they're like, oh, wait a minute, this world really is alive. And I can play with it. I can interact with it. Like what else is there? You know, it like increases their sense of exploration. But back to your conversation about constraints, like it's just hard. I mean, frankly, it's like really hard to design for like 10 different scenarios, but that's totally where we're at. Since I have, you know, I can be like really particular about my videos and stuff. I typically shoot both horizontal and vertical and just do separate edits. It's more work, but like if that's, you know, if that's how I'm going to communicate my piece to people, I just go ahead and take the time to do it. But as far as on device for the experiences, I do the thing I just said, which is I pick a series, like a hierarchy of goals, and I shoot for best case scenario. And if it's different on different devices, I just kind of roll with it. But we are moving to goggles, you know, or glasses or something like that. That's the next big hurdle for this actually like gaining traction in some sort of like ubiquitous way. And those are going to have their own constraints too. Like processing power is going to be even more limited probably on a pair of glasses because it's really hard to shove all of that hardware like in a tiny little frame. You can toggle or tether your like your mobile device to your glasses and that'll give it more power. But anyway, I think there's going to be significant limitations to consider when goggles come out or glasses come out in a substantial way. So as far as how I'm going to respond to them, I have no idea. I really don't know yet. Yeah. But in one way, it's going to be totally liberating because a lot of the issues that I'm dealing with right now, like the viewport size, won't be an issue. And I think like the feeling of immersion will be much more substantial. Like, it's a little challenging to really pull people into the feeling of immersion through a phone.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think audio actually really helps with that, but yeah, there's some challenges to it.
Yeah. So coming from traditional storytelling through theater. So there's something that I think I'm quite fascinated to hear your answer to of certainly has some level of interaction. The audience can interact in some way with the actors on stage, but sure, they're not really changing the, you know, there's some immersive now lately, as of late, there's more immersive theater that the audience is actually crafting the story in some way. Mm-hmm. But traditionally, there's lines and there's a story and the audience is there to watch it, interact in it by laughing or applauding or in something like that. But they're not really crafting or recrafting the story. It's not very right. Different every night. And I think like stand-up comedy or juggling and magic kind of hinted at that. Oh, like we can actually be, there's a story here, there's a show, but it can kind of be adapted and it will evolve based on volunteers who are on stage. As somebody like yourself who came from that world of creating work that more people watched, and you have a lot of power in that because you can actually drive people's emotions exactly where you want to take them and take them through the sound and the visuals and the story. You can, you know where they're going to get because you're going to bring them there. Now in a world of AR and VR and immersive and interactive art and experiences, you can start the book and kind of the way that I'm seeing it is you can write half the book for them and then leave some blank pages. Maybe fill in some along the way. You're crafting that world. But how do you feel with that as far as you're giving away a little bit of what feels, you know, whenever we create something, it's really, it's a little bit of us is in there. We, a lot of artists kind of are like, I want this to be experienced my way. But when you give people, hey, you can interact with this experience and maybe even change it, you know, as again, as probably get further down the line, people can start to interact with their world. So how do you feel about that as far as somebody from the traditional world creating a thing, you know, the movie, a movie is the ultimate version. Hey, this, you're going, everyone's going to experience this the same way, a little bit different based on yourself and where you watch it, but it's going to start here. It's going to end here. You can't change it versus right. Some of this new immersive and interactive art where you actually can go and interact and change it. How does that, as a creator, how do you feel about that as far as, again, as far as like, sometimes we want to tell people how to feel because that's what our goal was.
Right. I think it's a balancing act. So linear art, like you're describing with like a movie, for example, or a play is really wonderful because you can get such rich control, you know, over an experience and you can really lead people in a very particular way. And when you're creating a nonlinear experience, number one, the scope goes, it just explodes. The amount of work involved is much, much larger to create branching narratives because they expand, they branch out. And I've always been interested in art as a means of connection with other human beings. Like, that's why I do it. I feel like it's the way that I can like most authentically show my insides, you know, like the real me and share it with other people. So opening up the opportunity to an audience having a more meaningful role in the creation of the art, blurring the line between art and audience is really interesting to me because I actually think that it unlocks the potential for even deeper connections. Because as soon as somebody feels like they have real agency in an experience, they have ownership over it, right? So that their heart is already opening up as well as their mind to really taking in that information in a new, more meaningful, personal way. So I feel like the potential for deep connection is really ripe in this new immersive medium. As far as doing it successfully, great question. Hard to do, but you have to, there has to be like a bit of looseness, a bit of like not knowing and really allowing people to drive the ship and creating a series of opportunities, depending on what they choose, for the experience to be really different. But again, it's about creating that hierarchy of goals within the story that you want to get across. So if there's like a real fundamental thread that like nothing will make sense if they don't catch it like later on, then you make sure that in the design of the experience that there's no way they can miss those things. You create redundant opportunities for them to interact with that little piece of information or something. And then, but there's also going to be like key pivotal points, which I just call pivots, which is like where there's a branch, you know, they choose something very direct and now the story goes this way. So yeah, there's those. And there's also like the little optional pieces that I sort of sprinkle throughout the experiences that I was describing earlier. But you kind of have to let go a little bit. There's not knowing involved. And I think one of the bigger life lessons I've been trying to learn over the last like several years is just kind of relaxing into the not knowing. It's been a whole lot of uncertainty, clearly, in the world. And also just in my personal life, switching this, you know, deciding to just really follow this career path like a couple of years ago, there's just a lot of not knowing. But even if you can't see the path, it's forming beneath you. And I think if you can just relax and trust your instincts and if you can trust yourself, basically, you'll end up where you need to be.
But, Yeah. it's so fascinating of the, that, as you said, uncertainty of the world in general and then how that mirrors into the art that we're creating. New innovative pieces of art are always start off on the fringes and then become adopted by the mainstream and corporatized for better or worse, you know, for better because there's funding and resources being dumped into it, for worse because then there's more people having their hands and messing up the original ideas. They're not always the case, but often is the case. So what do you see? And again, you don't need to go into any specific personal projects or anything like that, but what do you see in general with the industry as far as that? And it's something that like right now is in the fringes of it. And again, like probably a whole nother several conversations into like the NFT and now digitizing of everything. Yeah. Again, it's probably a rabbit hole that we, you know, you can certainly hint touch on it if you would like. But yeah, just thinking about that of creating something that's new, and it's kind of, as I said before, the frontier, a little bit of a Wild West, but there are brands and stuff want to be attached to it. Yeah, how are you balancing that of innovating, keeping it fringy because that's where the best stuff is going to happen, but then also merging, you know, into getting resources dumped into these things is
the practical aspect
to keep it going?
Yeah, sure, totally. Yeah, supporting yourself as an artist, that's always a good question. An interesting one, and one that changes pretty fluidly. So, I mean, the short answer is that it is the Wild West. And because of that, it is attractive to certain companies. And so certain companies have been commissioning me to make artworks, you know, partly to sort of show what their software can do or like envision their brand in a particular way. But It's really the braver ones, you know. It's not like the big behemoths, because of course they'll come along. And personally, I freelanced for many years as an interactive designer. And so in my back pocket, I have the ability to design apps if I need to or whatever, which is a very, you know, it's a very big market. So I have a little bit of like a safety card in my back pocket. But I also just saved up a lot of money for a couple of years so that I could really explore, because I knew, I was witnessing the birth of a new medium, and I wanted to give myself the time and the freedom. So I basically bought myself some time to really devote to this stuff, and then just really focused on making the work that I wanted to make. And I had a belief that if I did that, the people would come to me to make that work. And that is what has happened, basically. So yeah, and that would actually be my recommendation for anybody that was starting out, is to do what you need to do practically to give yourself some safety, but be sure that you're making the work that you want to make and put it into the world. Because if you do that, people will recognize that passion, recognize the you in there, and they'll come to you for that because it's unique, you know?
Yeah.
So that's been my perspective on the whole thing. But I think going forward, more and more people are going to be like, oh yeah, AR is a thing, you know, it's going to go beyond Pokemon Go, and there's going to be more and more opportunities. But right now, yeah, it's really, there's not very many. It's really early days. It's actually much earlier days than I even thought it was when I first started this journey a couple of years ago. I was like, oh, okay, cool. Like the software's changed. I could really like go into this now. And then I went into it and I was like, oh my, okay, yeah. Wow. Okay. There's like no one here. Like no one's doing this. Like, okay, let's play. Let's see what happens.
But yeah.
Yeah.
That's fascinating when you're like, oh, when you realize when you're a little bit even ahead of that, you're like, oh, I thought this, you know, you get on the inside of things and you're like, oh, I know everything. Not anything. And of course we don't know everything.
Yeah,
I had that with so many things. I start to do something and I'm like, oh, I actually kind of understand this. Other people are coming asking me questions about stuff. I'm like, oh, that's weird. I came here to ask you guys questions.
Like, oh, wait a minute. I know what I'm doing. Yeah.
Totally. So we'll kind of tie this up here. And I love that kind of, I usually end with what's the advice that you have for somebody who, not just creating this type of work, just creating any type of creative thing. And that's like such a core thing. We'll tie it up again at the end. But having that idea of giving yourself a little bit of a runway so that you can explore things that you're not asking for money every day. You know, it's like for me, I've had countless examples that we've talked about plenty of times on this show of making something for the sake of making it because it's something that I believe in and I don't need to be pitching it or letting a brand or company come in and say, oh, what if you change it to this way? And I'm like, no, you're not getting the vision here. They're like, yeah, but we need to sell things. So you need to do it this way. And, you know, it has that. So that's awesome. And then, so I love all of that. And kind of maybe we'll kind of tie this all together as, what do you think, seeing it from the inside and actually helping to pave the path on to the Wild West, through the Wild West, what are some things that you think or that you hope that you can help to create in that? Because again, like you said, we've seen Pokemon Go and the things that are starting there. And I think for me personally, I'm not particular, like I kind of am on the fringes of it, but I'm not in the middle of it. I don't even know what's possible. What do you think is A, maybe realistically where it's going? And then maybe more interesting question is, where would you like to see it go as far as what's a potential, maybe that from you being somebody on the inside that you're like, oh, this is actually possible in a few years, where somebody like me would be like, whoa, that's an interesting idea. Like, I never even realized that that would happen. So this is your opportunity to plant your flag on the Between Dreams podcast. So in 6 years, we can play this tape back and then you could be like, see, that was my idea. I was thinking about it. Yeah. And you're going to have all the glory. I'm sure you're going to have a lot of the glory anyway. But yeah, is there something that you're just like, oh, here's what's actually cool? So I'm thinking about it of like, to frame it is like coming from live theater world of, you know, because it's like Pokemon Go type thing is like real life AR. Hey, I could walk down my street and things appear. I really like the idea of like creating a theatrical experience. So you go to the venue and the venue is already a little bit not reality because it has, you know, theater curtains and there's like things that are actually physically real. And then planting AR on top of something that isn't really reality, like that for me. And that's a pretty basic idea, not terribly innovative or anything, but that's like, I'm really seeing it happen. There's not like, I don't know of any like AR theater experiences.
They are happening, but not too many. There's a few people that are doing what you're talking about. And I think it's so interesting to sort of follow some of the things they're doing. There's a whole can of worms that can be opened when you're blending live actors with these technologies and creating these sort of multi-layered experiences. There's people that are using live actors to be the motion, like for, and they're basically directing like puppets in VR. So there's like characters that have been generated, 3D characters in VR space, but they're being controlled or puppeted by live actors. And then people can interact with them. So it's like, there's a lot of interesting takes. Like, as far as like the potential for all this stuff, I really do think this is the evolution of storytelling. And there's multiple parts of that. So there's some new technology now that's being used to actually use like AI to monitor people's expressions and responses to stories and then to change the story based on their response to them. There's an artist named Karen Palmer who's partnering with a bunch of scientists to create this software. And she created like a piece called Riot, which is you're basically in the middle of a London riot and you get approached by a cop who's aggressive towards you. And depending on your response, whether or not you're calm and relaxed or if you're nervous or if you're angry, however you respond, the cop will respond differently to you. Also based on the demographic information that it can tell about you. Your gender, your race, et cetera. And so she's really creating these like empathy machines, which people throw that word around a lot for the mixed reality space, but I think it's true. And her work is an excellent example of it. So I think we're seeing the change of one-way directional art where the artist makes and the audience observes to blurring the line between the two where there's a conversation between both and neither is the same afterward. And I just think that's really profound. The potential for it is really profound. So as far as anything like extra special that I see on the horizon, I mean, the stuff that gets me jazzed is like art experiences that take you to a new place and change your perspective on something, like offer you a viewpoint that you had never even considered before, so that you walk away thinking about it and it changes you a little bit, you know? That's the sort of stuff that I want to do. And I think that mixed reality is kind of the perfect tool to do that. So that's what I'm excited about, more than the Pokemon Go's or the virtual pets or the even, you know, trying on like the new pair of shoes. There's a lot of use cases, like a lot of commerce opportunities and stuff like that. But yeah, I'm in it for the human connection. So
yeah. Love it. Cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I know we had, again, I mirrored that. I'll say it so many times because I think it's so valuable of you saying how you built a world where you were able to have the freedom to explore these ideas and actually create. And I think that's an amazing takeaway. Do you have any other quick 1 or 2 minute takeaway from your experience as somebody who's going out and creating the work that you actually want to create? Because a lot of artists started off creating the work that they want to create and they somehow went off the track and now they're creating stuff, but they're like, I don't even like this stuff. How did I get here? Do you have any advice, a quick minute or two, somebody who either wants to be on a path of creating what they want to do or they started there and maybe got shifted off of, how do we stay on the track to stay inspired and excited about the work that we're doing? And I think it pairs well, particularly with what you're talking about of pushing the envelope and innovating.
Yeah. Well, so first off, I wasn't always on this path. So having grown up with a dad that was like an artist and musician, like we struggled financially growing up. And although I was totally encouraged to like deeply explore art the entire time I was growing up, which, you know, was invaluable, there was also this sort of like when it came time to become an adult, you know, and I told people in my family that I wanted to be an artist, part of the response was like, okay, well, how are you going to make a living? You know, there's this fear involved. And so I made a lot of really practical choices. Even going into interactive art at the time was a pretty practical choice. I knew I could be an artist. There was also like a lucrative demand for the thing that I was doing because it was like technology based. And so I went into that world and then gradually sort of found myself, as you said, making stuff for other people that wasn't at my heart center. I knew I wanted to do more than what I was doing. Even the mobile games and stuff that I was making, like I just knew there was more. And so that's when I started saving. I mean, I saved for a full 2 years to give myself plenty of runway and buy myself some time to make stuff. But as far as like actual advice for people, I would say, number one, really figure out your savings, like figure out where you can save money, because financial freedom means artistic freedom in so many ways. Like you don't have to be beholden to a company or a brand or taking an opportunity that you don't really want because you have this passion project that you want to see happen, but you have to pay the rent. Like financial freedom just offers you so much. So thinking early and often about where you can save or what are ways that you can create a side income that's not directly based on your hourly. As soon as you can break away from hourly income, like if you're an artist, for example, could you create, you know, graphic design templates that people can purchase, that sort of stuff. If you can diversify your income streams, that gives you a little bit of freedom too. But I mean, you have to have the entrepreneurial spirit. It is part of being an artist these days. There's no way around it. So finding some people that are doing it well and learning from them is a great place to start. But ultimately, when it all boils down, you really have to listen to your heart. You have to listen to yourself and get really clear on exactly what's important to you and what you want to bring into the world. We all know this, but you only get one life. So you really got to make the most of it.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. Sure. And so now people are inspired to check out this amazing stuff that we've been talking about. Where would you like to send people that want to dig into more of your work on the internet?
Sure. I'm mostly on TikTok and Instagram. On both of those, Dunaway Smith. Dunaway is my middle name. So it's a short way to find me. And then my website is dunawaysmith.com. So yeah, any of those places you can find me.
Sweet. Well, thank you so much for sharing.
Oh, thanks for having me.
I feel like we could probably have like 3 more of these for me to actually dig into all of the stuff. And as the listeners will go check out your stuff, they'll see why, you know, so like kind of blown away and impressed and amazed. And confused, probably, just because I'm I don't understand this in the best way possible. It's like, I don't even know, like, if, hey, go
what
back.
Am I saying?
I don't under. It's like when someone's is like, "Hey, go figure out how a cell phone works." I'm like, "Bob, I'll just never know." And that's what, like, with your stuff, I'm just like, I don't even know what is happening here, but it's crazy. So I love that. It's all inspiring. So really appreciate you sharing. And maybe we'll do a round two at some point. If people have more questions, feel free to drop them in. We'll make it happen.
Sure. I'm totally down. Thank you for having me. It's been fun.
Thank you.